Oh, happy music for happy times here in Studio A. The New York State Craft Brewers Festival in Albany will be taking place on Saturday. That's this Saturday at the Desmond Hotel in Colony, New York. And they're returning to Albany for their 10th year. The event brings together more than 50 breweries from every region of the state to showcase New York State craft beer in a truly one-of-a-kind environment. If you've never been, let's put it this way. If you have been to a beer festival and you've never been to this beer festival, then you've never been to a beer festival.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
It's so different. It's a really very cool place where you go, and I've been there many times. And I get to, because Paul's nice to me, I get to go, and You not only you learn so much about different beer styles, these wonderful, really these craftspeople who come up with these amazing beers are there. They explain them to you. It's not just someone pouring you something and you walk off. You actually learn about it, different styles, different tastes, what you like, what you don't like, and it's just a terrific place to be. Attendees will get to sample new flavors and styles and brands of craft beer that they wouldn't normally have the opportunity to taste around the region, and because from brewers all over the state are coming here to Albany and poured by brewery owners and brewers themselves, and just it's so unique and it's so fun, and it's a very, very good time. It is my honor to welcome the following folks. Paul Leone is with us. He's executive director of the New York State Brewers Association. They are the ones who are responsible for this New York State Craft Brewers Festival. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me back. And a couple of things. We have over 60 breweries now.
60.
And probably mainly because breweries from all over the state want to come here for this festival. And so we try to limit it to 50, and so we've expanded it to a little over 60.
Oh, good. Make it bigger.
We made it a little bigger. We also have like wine and RTDs and like other options for people. So we've kind of adapted and grown.
It's very, very cool. We also are thrilled that Rachel McDermott is with us, owner and farmer from Dancing Grain Farm and Brewery. That is located not far from here in Moreau, New York, in Saratoga County. And welcome. What a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about Dancing Grain Farm Brewery.
Yeah, so we kicked off Dancing Grain in 2022, right after COVID. And what makes Dancing Grain a little bit different from a traditional craft brewery is we grow all the malt for our beers. So we'll have mostly lagers on tap to kind of showcase the maltiness of our beers. And we also use 100% New York State hops. So we're very focused on the locality of our product. And the people that, you know, really supporting the people who grow the ingredients in our beers.
Well, that's terrific and really great stuff. We also welcome Steve Parker to the program. Steve, correct me. Were you here last year?
I was not. It was Anthony.
Anthony. And who is Anthony in relation to Fiden?
So Anthony is one of our owners.
Okay, great. Excellent. And so a co-owner.
Yes.
Well,
co-founder.
Co-founder. Yes. And Steve Parker is at Fiden's. And tell us about Fiden's, still a very, very popular brewery in Albany.
Yeah, we opened up Fiden's 2019. We're a hop-focused brewery mostly.
What does that mean? Or hop-focused.
Hop-focused, yeah. So most of our beers are
hop-focused. Okay, yeah.
IPA-focused brewery. That's how we kind of started. Then we opened up our tap room about a year and a half ago down on 897 Broadway. And we started expanding into other styles. And so now we kind of like a full array of styles. But we're still, we love hops. That's our main focus of the brewery.
And hops would typically be an IPA type.
Correct.
Beer. And that's still, I know Paul and I have discussed this, and we'll go back to him in a second. But that's still a very popular style in beer.
Very popular, yeah. I mean, that's... For us, it's probably 95% of our production.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And is it for? I mean, it goes all over the board, right, Paul?
What's that in terms of like styles
yeah.
That are going to be at the festival?
Well, not so much about. I guess in popularity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were just talking in the green room before this, like, you know, trends and things and what are you making most of? And a lot of folks, you know, IPA still rules, you know, that hazy IPA. But, you know, which lagers are trending, you know, just as what we were talking earlier about.
I love, I'm not like a huge IPA guy. I do love lagers. I respect an IPA, but to me, I find them to be interesting because there's so many different styles within the IPA realm, and it's hard to know exactly what you like, right?
Right. Well, I mean, there's so many hops, and all these hops give different flavors, and so it's you know, I think it's finding what you like, and then there's some that are bitter, there's some that are more approachable. So there is a huge difference in them. Yes.
So when you, as a brewer, if you're creating something, it's a lot of trial and error as far as what hop is going to give you what type of taste.
Yeah, I mean, we select all of our hops. So we fly out every fall. We go to Yakima Valley. We fly out, rub hops, and then we kind of get to select the direction that we want our beer to taste like for that
All
year.
Right, I'll bite, Steve. What's rubbing hops?
Oh, rubbing hops. So we work with Yakima Chief mostly. We've been working with them for about 3 years. They really know what kind of hops that I like to pick. So when I fly out there, the farmers will grow the hops, they'll pick them, and then they'll give us samples of all the different lots. And every lot is different. So, like, all lots of Citra don't smell the same.
Right.
Pick windows vary. You can have early pick, which is a little more grassy note to them. I like later pick, which is more of that fruit, ripened fruit vibe that the hops get. So we just go out there, we rub them, we smell them, and then we just pick that for that year, what we want to get.
So how do you then, I guess, Rachel, how is it done that, like, if you have Rachel's beer on tap, and it's called Rachel's beer, and a person goes in February and wants a pint, and somebody goes in October and wants a pint, that will taste similarly given the variation of what is out there?
Well, in our case, I would say our grain lots are typically consistent from season to season. So the beer on tap in October should taste the same as the beer in February. We do have some hoppy beers. We work with the New York Hop Guild to source the ingredients for those. And they all come from New York grown and certified growers. So they're on contract. So we know that what we're getting is a consistent product every single time. Fidens have a different business model than us. We brew much smaller batches of beer. We don't distribute our beer aside from can sales to go from our brewery. So, you know, there isn't this, I don't know, you speak to your distribution model better than I can. But when you come to the tap room, it's generally beer that was just brewed, right?
Right.
So,
right. But there's a recipe and you follow it, mm-hmm, and then there's going to be a sameness to what it is, to be a consistency from one time to another.
Yeah, and occasionally, you know, if you're working on 2023 grain and then 2024 comes in, there's an analysis on it that tells you how it may have differed from the last lot. So the brewers make adjustments to that based on, you know, water chemistry and extract amounts and things like that. So they make adjustments on their end.
My colleague and dear friend, David Gustina, joins us in the studio. I had invited him earlier, but Media Project went overboard, overtime.
Overboard's about right.
Overboard, yeah.
Yeah, nothing satisfies me after talking about the problems with the FCC than a local brew.
You need a little help here.
This is wonderful.
What is this? What am I drinking here?
So this is the Heyday American Craft Lager. And when we built Dancing Grain, I had a lot of family support because it's built on our family farm.
Yeah.
And my uncle said to me, I'll support you in doing this, but you have to brew a beer that I'll drink. So the Heyday is inspired by, like, long, hot days in the field, quenchable, easy to drink, clear beer.
This is great.
Thank you.
This is really fantastic. And by clear, meaning that it's lighter in color, but also... Mm-hmm. But it just has tremendous flavor.
Thank you. I attribute that to the malt. Like, we control all the grain in our supply chain. We know where it comes from. And we work with a company in Massachusetts called Valley Malt who malts it for us and sends it back. So we're really proud of being able to trace our base malt back to its origin.
Pioneer Valley?
Valley.
Is it for a particular area in Massachusetts, in other words? You said you got it from Massachusetts?
I know, I grow it.
Oh, you grow
it. I send it to Massachusetts to be malted. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. What's next?
Steve.
Oh, this is our All Citra Pale Ale called Grade 10. So this is this features our new lot of 2024 Citra, which was selected from Coleman Farm out of Oregon. Really happy with this lot. This lot is very punchy, very orange forward, citrusy, really everything that we really look for in a lot of Citra.
What I know you've been asked this question a billion times,
sure.
So make it a billion one.
David,
maybe you'll want to make it a billion two. What makes it hazy?
Hazy is just a combination of technique, grain, and dry hopping, really. A lot of our beers, our pre-dry hop beers, kind of all look the same. And then when we dry hop them, it really gives you that color, that nice golden yellow orange color in the beer. It's not filtered. There's no biofine or anything like that to drop the beer clear.
What does dry hopping mean?
So dry hopping is beer is brewed, it's put in the fermenter, the yeast is added, it goes through brewing. Once it hits terminal gravity, where it stops, then we dry hop it at the end. So it's adding hops cold side to the process to really, that's what gives you a lot of the flavor in this style and color and that beautiful nose is from the dry hop.
You missed the earlier conversation. What was it? Hop rubbing? What was it?
Rubbing hops.
Yeah, rubbing hops. You missed that.
I really, really like these terminologies you've got going here.
Thank
Keep
you.
It going.
And the name of this again is?
Grade 10.
Grade 10.
Grade 10.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very
this
much.
This is probably like, this one we have flies at tap room. We brew this beer probably every other week to keep it on in the tap room.
Wow.
Yep.
So very popular. And and I guess because it's drinkable, right? I mean, it's 5%
drinkable.
Very friendly.
Yep.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit, Rachel, about your brewery as far as when people come in, what ultimately are they looking for, and what you have found to be popular and putting your stamp on an interesting market.
Yeah. So. That's a bit of a loaded question. So I set out to build a brewery.
I didn't mean it to be. I apologize.
I set out to build a brewery that celebrates
loaded is the right word,
York.
Though.
My hard-hitting questions in the beer segment. Yeah, go ahead.
And so my passion is again, more multi-focused beers and lagers and real fruit additions. And what we quickly learned through presenting our case to the public, which was, hey, come here, drink beer, see where it comes from, was that they really, really wanted to drink IPAs still. And lagers are, we have a whole portfolio of lagers, and they're all, you know, 2, 3, and 4 as far as number, where they sit sales-wise in our tap room. But our IPA is still number one. And So we set out, you know, about 6 months later to say, okay, we want to brew some of the best New York State IPAs, knowing that we don't grow our own hops and we can't control that supply chain. How can we sort of support that supply chain from the ground up? And so we've done a couple things to sort of articulate with our customers what we do and who we support, and that was to become New York Grown and Certified. So that basically is a process that says, we can trace every ingredient in this beer back to its origin, and it all comes from New York State, and it all comes from farmers that are that have an agricultural or environmental management plan in place. So it's a very sustainable product, and so now we're focused a little bit less on the types of beers that are our passion projects, and more on articulating the supply chain as a cohesive sort of project. At Dancing Grain.
Right.
It's not just us. There are other people who play a part in here. And so we offer a variety of diverse different beers to sort of tap each of those interests, but they all tell the same sort of story, which is the people behind the beer and the agricultural you know, industry that supports it. So
a wonderful story to tell. The New York State Craft Brewers Festival is in Albany this Saturday, January 27th at the Desmond in Colony. Tickets are almost gone, but you still have a chance.
50 left.
50 left
out of
as
1,200,
of
yeah.
the beginning of
wow.
this broadcast. So a lot going on. Paul Leone is with us. He is the executive director of the New York State Brewers Association. While we get another beer up here, let me ask you how things are going as far as the industry of giving us a state of the industry report. Yeah, be my bartender, David. I like.
I want you guys to get another one in before the segment
certainly,
ends.
Certainly not the first time David is. Just I want,
again
for the record. I just want people to know that David's the person I'm usually drinking with at 11:59.
All right.
Over the radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are things going?
Well, you know, the industry is, we were talking about this earlier before we came on the air. It's changing a little bit. It's leveling off in New York. You know, we still have over 500 breweries in New York, which makes us number two in the country. But there
Who's
are breweries, California,
okay.
with about 1,100.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So,
look out, California, we got your number.
Yeah, and so, but the industry's changing, you know, and it's really leveling off. And we were seeing 8-10% year growth for a while, and then COVID hit, and then Gen Z started coming of age, and you know, cannabis is now a thing. And so, you know, the market is sort of flattening out, and there are breweries still opening. But there are breweries that are closing, and so that's something that we're seeing. And the industry is not collapsing. You know, there are a lot of people have been calling for the burst of the bubble for a long time, and there is no bubble, and it's not bursting. It's just that breweries are having to adapt to a new reality of which is a good reality of offering non-alcoholic beverages and offering maybe New York State wine or things like just other options for people.
Is there a gender divide or, you know, beers that maybe women gravitate more toward than men?
I love this question.
It's all you,
it's
Rachel.
It's my favorite question.
It's all you.
Mm-hmm. When I put the business plan together, there was more than one person who told me that targeting women was a terrible idea. They'd never be beer drinkers. You're wasting your time. And I was like, okay. I'm going to prove you wrong, and I think that I have, because I won't say
have
that.
Have any of those people spent time in a brewery?
Well, here's the thing. If women feel like they're underrepresented or that they're underestimated, they won't support you or their or your business,
right.
period.
Yeah.
It's a full stop conversation. So we have gone the extra mile to make sure that we have, like, an inclusivity statement that supports not just women, but people of all backgrounds and races and gender identifications. And we make it very public that we have a zero tolerance policy. But we also have well-trained staff on kind of how to help people navigate their beer choices. And a lot of times we will get women who say, like, well, I don't like beer. And we'll spend extra time with them to be like, what is it that you don't like about beer? Like, you came all the way out here. The least I can do is give you 5 minutes of my time,
yeah.
right? And so we spend more time with our customers to try to figure out what is it that we can serve them that they might like, that might change their mind. And people really do appreciate that. We do carry other products. We carry hard ciders and wines so that we always have a backup plan for someone who really just isn't going to want to drink wine. But I will say, like, I have been... It's like, challenge accepted. I'm going to make women beer drinkers. And the one thing I will tell you is if, like, you look at our socials, over 73% of both our platforms are followed by women.
Right.
And a woman is a very, she's a conscious consumer and she's a loyal consumer. And so she tends to bring her family, her friends, her parents, her.
Well, that's right. That's what I see in the breweries that I go to,
mm-hmm.
Very much so. It's and it speaks to the importance of, I mean, I've said this over and over again, but you know, one of the things that I love, we have a brewery in our town, Argyle, Brewing Company, and you know, that's my home. That's my office. That's where I put my Lego projects.
Norm,
Joe.
But you know what? But it's important to you know, local is important. But it's important to support these breweries. They're small businesses. They're trying very, very hard. It's a changing environment, and it's important to support them.
And, you know, I was driving up here, and I was thinking about, you know, you're doing your fundraising effort right now, right?
That's why we're drinking.
And that's right. Yeah, exactly why you're drinking. And so I've been to 2 brewery closings in the last 2 months, and there have been a lot of people there. And a lot of people there were saying, oh, my God, I'm so sad you're closing. And then the owners are like, where were you? You know, all of these, I mean, packed tap rooms, like saying how sad they were to close. And these businesses will go away if you don't support them. And you say, well, you have any last word? And I say, well, yeah, make sure you support your local brewery. And it's really not much different than what you all are doing, that, you know, people are like, well, you know, somebody else will support it or whatever. And then all of a sudden you go away and everybody's like, oh, my God, you're going away because you're not supporting me. And that's a very real thing.
It is a real thing, and it happens to so many different businesses and so many different organizations and nonprofits. I'm curious as to let me get into the wonky part of this segment, which is for your association. Are there laws? Are there things that would make your life and the life of these brewers better?
We're always trying to find a way to cut the red tape, which New York has done a really good job with. And you know, there's a lot of things coming up that could hurt their business that we continue to you know, push back against. But at the same time, New York's pretty generous. But there are new things, you know, coming in, like, you know, direct to consumer is a thing. You know, three tier system still. You know, still rules, and that's a system that came into play in 1933. You know, and so things are changing. And so we got to work with our wholesale partners and our retail partners and try to give them greater access to market, which can be limited in some ways. And so as their nonprofit trade association, these are things, especially now they've got hemp beverages and all of these things that are like, what do we do with this? And brewers, you know, that's our job, is to try to, you know, give them greater access to market and make their lives easier with less red tape.
What am I drinking now? Because this is...
This is Jasper with Egger Special.
Okay, so what is the second part of that? Egra?
Egger Special.
So, Egger Special.
Yep, so Jasper is, again, like our flagship. Egger Special is a hop that comes from New Zealand. We work with a gentleman named Kem Eggers that owns about a 70-acre farm down there. And he was nice enough to give us about 400 pounds of this hop that's pretty rare to get. Mm. And it's a pretty awesome hop. It's a Rawaka that he grows. That is super high in thiols and just super punchy and really aromatic.
It is aromatic.
Very aromatic.
But very good. Okay, so then we have a darker, what I would call an amber-colored beer.
Yeah, it's a Doppelbock, so it's sort of like a double lager.
I love this style. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so...
What's it called?
It's called the Big Fig Energy. It is brewed with figs and plums.
8.5%.
Yeah, it's a
tastes like it.
Hello, sailor.
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Again, it's brewed with all our malts. We brewed it for Christmas. There's some chocolate in it, which is obviously not going to be the only sort of like non-New York State ingredient in there. But it was just a beer brewed to celebrate being together with family and friends.
What a great beer. And also, I love what Paul just said of 8.5?
Mm-hmm.
8.5%, but it does not taste it. That's great.
That's a beer festival tip, by the way, is always ask for what's one of my major tips is always ask what the ABV is, because in the past, you used to describe high ABV beers as boozy, and these two people right here have done a really good job at brewing where it doesn't, like, it can catch you, can catch you with
that's true.
You don't ask.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's good to time your, you know, to figure out where you're going to go and when.
Well, any significance with the label?
Well, I actually design all our labels.
Nice work.
So it was sort of...
Looks like a Santa Claus to me.
It was brewed for the holidays, so...
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fig.
You look like J.K. Simmons.
Yeah. The New York State Craft Brewers Festival is in Albany, New York. It's taking place Saturday, January 27th. There are just a few tickets left. Celebrate their 10th anniversary. What better way? Nearly 60 breweries, or over 60 breweries.
Over 60. Over 60. 62, I think. Yeah.
62 that'll be there to showcase at the Desmond Inn Colony. Rachel McDermott, an absolute pleasure to meet you. Congratulations
you.
On your business and the wonderful work that you do and the thoughtfulness that you put into it. Thank you very much. Steve Parker, brewer and co-owner of Fidens, thank you very much for helping our capital city just be a little bit happier. And we appreciate all the great work you do.
Thank you.
Paul Leone, you're the best. I thank you. It's been many years that we have. How many years have you been with the group?
I've been with them for 13 years.
Yeah, so okay. So yeah, I mean, you started this whole thing. Yeah.
So you're, but you've been coming to most of the festivals, and you all support us, and we appreciate it.
I thank you.
And come
very
meet
much.
Rachel and Steve.
It's
this
great
weekend.
To see you. Thanks to everybody for being on the program this morning. Thanks to everybody who gave to the Lockbox. Thank you so much for being a part of the program this morning.